Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate the word together. Ah, here we go, y'all. Talk to them. Tell them. Say amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Surely the word of the Lord is great and powerful, and it will last from age to age. That is Donald Lawrence singing that wonderful song, and we thank the Lord for each and every one of you that are tuning in today to the Prospering Souls broadcast. We thank God for everyone that has been listening and that has been blessed prayerfully. You have been being blessed by the word of God. Because that is our endeavor, is to make sure that people understand the word of God and build a foundation so that you can stand on and that you will be blessed and be able to walk through this journey with Christ as a champion. We thank God for each and every one of you, those that are calling in, those that will be listening on the internet, those that will listen in the archives. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we ask the Lord that the Lord would bless those that need to find this broadcast, that they would find it and be richly blessed by it. We are going to continue in our discussion on unforgiveness. I think we're going to be on this for a little while, and so we have some awesome testimonies that will be on that are going to be testifying today and even on next week. And we thank God for each and every one of them just being willing to share, you know, how that they got through some hard times and was able to be able to forgive someone for the things that they had done. And so we thank God for that. And right now I'm going to ask if Elder Poston, he's on the line, if he would lead us out in prayer today. And I'm so thankful for each and every one that has called in. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Elder Poston?
Hello?
Oh, okay. Monisa? Evangelist Clay, would you lead us out in prayer?
I sure will. Father God, we thank you and we praise you today for your mighty hand. We thank you for this broadcast, God, and we pray that it will reach out to the highways and the hedges and compel men to come. We pray that those that are hearing that are believers, God, that it will prick their hearts and that they will change their mind according to the word that they hear. God, those who are unsaved, God, we pray that it will release in their life the deliverance that they need and the salvation that they need with you. And, God, those who are giving their testimonies today, God, we ask that you be strength to them as they share today. And, God, we ask that the hearts and the minds of your people everywhere begin to change and focus toward you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we declare these things are so, and they shall come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for that wonderful prayer. And if you all would just introduce yourselves on the line. Now, we just heard from Evangelist Clay. So who else is on the line today?
Okay, you have Elder Dodson.
Thank the Lord, Elder Dodson.
In
praise the Lord.
Yes. God bless.
That's Phyllis Dodson.
Amen, Phyllis.
I'm Ken Mims.
Ken?
Mims.
Okay, thank the Lord for you.
Cherry Fields.
Thank the Lord for you.
Rita Timberlake.
Praise the Lord, Elder. Okay. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I'll ask one more time. We're going to move on. We're going to go on. We've been talking about yesterday, last week we opened up a can of worms with that unforgiveness, and the Lord was really, really blessed us on that, because we're going to talk about that, continue to talk about in that vein, and then we'll go back to some other steps on about being forgiven. But the four topics that are on our list today to talk about, and if we get through them, I'm not sure if we will or not, because sometimes the Lord just begins to bless, and we're going to have some testimonies, so I want to make sure that the testimonies are heard today. And we're talking about what unforgiveness actually is, and we touched on that last week, so I'm just going to reiterate that this week. The price of unforgiveness, giving to God the things that belong to him, and how to deal with unforgiveness. Those are four areas of that we're going to be touching on today. And when I talked about unforgiveness last week, I just a brief definition of what unforgiveness actually is. Unforgiveness is actually a form of hate against another person. If a person hates somebody, it is a sign that the person is lacking love in their heart. Why? They are not firmly rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And Christ's love is not flowing through them. As simple as that sounds, but that's how it works. When we really think about it, you can't be walking around with unforgiveness and really say that you have the love of God in your heart as well. Because when Jesus, when they asked Jesus about, you know, what was the greatest commandments and things like that, and one of the things he said was that we love the Lord our God, love the Lord our God, and then the next thing was that we would love one another as we love ourselves. And so I'm just kind of paraphrasing, not giving the whole thing. I'll get the whole scripture in a minute. But those are some of the things we said. So he is big about love, and he was big about forgiveness, because one of the things he does is forgive us. He went to the cross so that we could be forgiven for our sins. And so how much more should we do for one another if Christ did it for us? And we know his testimony on the cross was that, you know, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do, because what they were doing to him was horrific in nature, but still he was able to ask them to forgive them. And this is the next thing, because even in, it says, what somebody may have done against us is one thing, but if you take Satan's bait of unforgiveness to heart, it will do much more harm to you than they did, really. So that's really doing just as much harm to you as they did. And do you want to continue to allow their mess to trouble you? That's another question. Is that what we want to do? Do we want to keep harboring unforgiveness that continues to trouble us throughout our life? And so many people, we really don't realize that some of the things that we're going through, even that people are going through now, is because of a result of some unforgiveness, because they were unable to person that hurt them, or the person that, you know, did whatever, and I'm not taking what somebody did lightly, because people have, it's been some horrific things that have been done to people that, you know, we can't even try to explain why it happened, or, you know, what was the reason. We can't do that, but we understand that, and so for some it takes them a longer time to come to that place in their heart. But what we're admonishing you to do is to try to come to that place in your heart to forgive the person that wronged you, so that you can begin a healing process and be able to enjoy what God has for you. Because we have to remember, as Jesus said, Satan comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And so, but Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So when he went to the cross on our behalf, he came to give us life, and that more abundant life. So we have to take his example. Who's done any worse than him? I mean, he was beaten for us. He was taken through a whole lot of things. And I know we can't really visually see it all, but if we even looked at the Passion for Christ, it tried to depict what might have been the torture that he went through. And if you've ever seen that movie, and just looking at that movie and seeing all the things that was done, it was a lot. And for him to get up on that cross and be nailed to the cross, and then a crown of thorns on his head, and all the things, horrific things that they did, they beat him, and they said to his flesh, it was very horrific. But nevertheless, what did he say? He said, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So these are a prime example on what forgiveness is, no matter what the offense has been, that we are able to do that. Does anyone have any comments on that particular area there?
Go ahead. I'm a first-time caller, so I don't know if it was – I was waiting for somebody else to speak. But
one of
the things that I wanted to interject is the concept of justified unforgiveness.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I think that's what we have a real problem with, and I'll give my testimony while I'm talking.
Okay.
When we came up, I went through my family, large family. There were nine of us. And my father he made really good money and decided that he was not going to take care of my mother's children. So as a result, we went through a whole lot of changes, and I won't go into all of it. But what it did was it left me with a hatred for my dad. And
mm-hmm.
I had been saved for years. I didn't know it was hate. I just had placed it in the justifiable category. I was speaking in tongues. I'm prophesying. The Lord was definitely using me. And for years, I had said if it came time for me to save my dad, I wouldn't even walk across the street to save him. And it wasn't until I got in my late 20s, and I'd been saved since I was 10, but it wasn't until I got in my late 20s that the Lord started talking to me, or that I was open even for the Lord to talk to me about it, because every time somebody would mention it to me, I would go back to that justified unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're able to justify it, we will never bring that up to the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So to get
mm-hmm.
back to that spot that you say, listen, Lord, whatever it is, and I love the way that you put it because that's what God said to me, unforgiveness is hatred.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he says as a child of love, there is no way in the world that you can harbor this unforgiveness in your heart. But again, I didn't recognize it as unforgiveness. I recognized it as justification.
Wow.
Mm.
Thank you so much for that testimony. I mean, and that is what happens. We begin to justify. I mean, that is a good point. And thank you for that testimony because that is what we do. We justify, well, you know, that is so, I mean, I've never thought about it in that context, but that is so true. Does anybody else have any thoughts about that or anything else they want to testify about concerning that same situation? Well, thank you so much for your testimony. Was that Rev. Mims?
That's me.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Mm.
And because I want to also touch on this as a thought too. The price of unforgiveness. There's a cost that comes with harboring this stuff. We think it's not. You know, we think we're doing something to hurt them. But it says here in my notes. It says so many people are in spiritual bondage due to unforgiveness. It is a common source of bondage and demonic harassment. As Jesus warns us about it in Matthew 18:23-35, and I'm just going to read the 34th and the 35th verse, and it says, And his Lord was wroth and delivered him in the to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, their trespasses. And I think that particular scripture was actually talking about, you know, when the one man went to the ruler and he got forgiven of his debts, but then he turned around and didn't give the person the same justice that he was given. And then it says this is a strong literal warning that a person can fall into the hands of demonic spirits or for torment and harassment if they are unforgiving and bitter inside. It is not an uncommon thing to find persons harassed by the enemy because of that unforgiveness and that bitterness. Bitterness is also known in the Bible as spiritual poison. Acts 8:23 says, "For I perceive that thou art in gall, poison, of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity." Unforgiveness not only gives demons the right ability to torment us, but it also prevents God from from forgiving our own sins. Now, it's serious. And this means that when we cry out to God for God's help, but we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we look down, he looks down on our sins as they are before him. And he puts it up a wall in our relationship with our Heavenly Father because we have not done with what is our recommendation. When Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, he said, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. We got to understand that's conditional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get to forgive, get forgiven, but you don't forgive. It's conditional.
Right.
That's a conditional thought right there.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any thoughts about that?
One thing to keep in mind is that unforgiveness works against relationship.
Yes.
And one thing that needs to be done is amending. How can I heal you if you have unforgiveness? How can you be healed?
Exactly.
You still need to be healed from that unforgiveness. And a way of healing you is allowing you to realize that I love you, that I'm here to be with you. And this is all the things that the Lord has showed us. And he's our example. The same way that he forgave us, he could have looked the other way and said, I've got a host of angels up here. Why am I trying to save man? You know? When Adam did what he did, but Adam was his creation, and it's just like a father saying, he's still my son. So to build that relationship, I have to show him what love and forgiveness is all about. When we're dealing with love, we're dealing with forgiveness. When we're dealing with forgiveness, we're dealing with joy, happiness, and all the rest of those things that come along with being okay where you are. So when we look at it, unforgiveness is a separation.
Yes.
From what God really, really wants for us. Wants us to have. The thing that I think about, and I guess I hope I'm not babbling. I hope you grabbing what I'm saying.
No, we're getting it.
Is that when you know when he came to the earth? When he was talking to his disciples, he said when he prayed the prayer, he said.
Yeah.
Wait
a minute, Elder Dawson. If you can put your phone on mute and then unmute it when you get ready to talk, because we're hearing some feedback from another conversation.
If
you're talking to someone else while you're on the line, could you put your phone on mute so that we could not hear that conversation? Thank you. Go ahead, Elder Dawson.
Okay. With the Lord's Prayer. He says, let things be on earth as it is in heaven, you know. And one of those things is, you know, there's no unforgiveness in heaven.
you know,
that's not there. And if we're to let those things be in us because we're earth, as I heard a preacher say today, we're made out of earth. Let those, whatever's done in heaven be in earth. We can't hold it in us. We can't allow it to be in us because simply it's not of God.
Right.
It's not of God. And it's a mending process that we have to go through. The brother was talking about justified forgiveness. I believe a lot of us are in that position where we say, "Well, you know, they did it to me, so I'll do it to them." which mm-hmm. is Pharisaic. you know, it's kind of Old Testament, you know, Pharisees and Sadducees,
yes.
you know, that believe that do it unto him as he did it unto me. But that's not the way God works. Mm-hmm. If you're going to forgive, it has to be genuine.
Yes.
Believe that forgiveness is genuine, it's pure.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll let some other people talk.
Well, I wanted Elder and Sister Dotson. They're one of our those that are going to give a testimony today. And I would really love for you all to talk about just the healing process that you all had to go through in being able to forgive the man that the drunk driver that actually it resulted in taking your daughter's life. And I wanted you to talk about that. And I know that's a very tender subject, but, I think sometimes these kind of subjects is what people are going through, these kind of horrific things. And if people can just hear how somebody else made it through it, then maybe they can be able to make it through it as well.
I'll let Sister Dotson start us off.
Hello, everybody. And I just wanted to say when Ebony died, it was very unusual, and I know that the statement that I'm getting ready to make is not true, but that's just how I felt. I felt like God had taken all of his attention off of everybody else in the world and placed it on me. I felt such a covering and an anointing from him to help me get through that situation. The man that killed my daughter, I just don't believe. From day one, the day that it happened, when I got the message that she was killed, and then when I got a message that she was killed by a drunk driver, and I can say I never really had any animosity or hatred toward him. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, it was like instant forgiveness. Now, I don't like what he did. I don't like the decision that he made. And I think it's wrong even today that he got away with it, so to speak, and not have to serve much time. But I felt like that wasn't my call. But as far as hatred toward him, I can't really say that I've ever had any hatred or unforgiveness. I know that that's weird. Even in the courtroom, I was disappointed at how things went. But as far as having unforgiveness for him, it was the strangest thing. I can say that I never really had it toward him. I resent the fact that his company that he worked for did all this undercover stuff to keep out of it, and you know, we're dealing with that civilly in a civil suit. But I can't really say that I had any hatred toward him, because in my heart I believe that man did not get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to go out and kill them niggas this evening." It was an unfortunate accident, and I'm going to go back to say again how I felt. I felt like God had was not paying attention to anybody else but me at the time of her death. I just felt his love and his attention on me. Now, I know that's not a true statement, but for me, it was. That God was totally concerned. I feel like whatever step I made, whatever I said, God said, hold it. Wait a minute. She's getting ready to say something. I got to hear it. I just felt like that. And that's how I felt. So I feel like because I felt that anointing, because I felt his love and his arms wrapped around me, the unforgiveness thing was just kind of taken by him. That's the only thing I can say. I know that may not be what people would think, but that's how it happened. It's so weird because I've had people do some things to me, and I've had struggles with forgiving them, I do. I had struggles with forgiving them and being in their presence, and you know, I had to deal with things. But that particular thing, it was like a no-brainer.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Doctor, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, the thing that I'd like to add is, I guess over the years of being saved and knowing the Lord, He just comforted us in that situation, and wouldn't allow unforgiveness to, you know, come up in us. It was almost like, well, the thing that He spoke to us was that I'll give you the peace that passes all understanding, and it's going to guard your hearts and your minds.
Hold on, Elder Doctor. Let me say something, too. Please hold your child. And it's almost like you all know, Sister Monique, the people in Indianapolis, Sister Denise, you were in Dallas, and I'm going to tell you, the media was all over that. They were on it. We were getting, and it's almost like they were standing there wanting us to say that we hate them, and we just couldn't do it.
Thank you, Lord.
People, they wanted us to say, and then people were coming to us saying, "Sorry, Randy. Sorry, but I'm gonna get it back to you." But they were coming to us saying, "Oh, you guys are so strong. I didn't care about that. I wasn't doing that so people could say I was so strong." But that's just the way it was. That's how Lord did it. But the world and the media and people were expecting something different. I'm sorry, Elder. Go ahead.
But you said something there. Media and news, they don't make their money unless they're fueling what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And what people want to see. And people want to see unforgiveness. They want to see hatred. They want to see anger. And they really wanted us to be angry, but we couldn't. The Lord wouldn't allow our hearts to feel that, because He gave us a peace that was passing all understanding, that was keeping and guarding our hearts and minds, and wouldn't allow us to go there. Even when I wanted to be angry at that man, I couldn't, because I couldn't allow anger to infuse or come in me. Because then I wouldn't have really handled it the way that we handled it, you know. And I believe the Lord allows us to go through certain things and wants us and guards us in a way. He does guard us in a way where it won't affect us.
And you know that scripture, Sister Denise, that Elder Dotson was talking about. I heard you and him talking about that bitterness. Bringing up in you, and then the trouble I get it mixed up, defiles others around you or something like that.
Right.
Now, you know, walking on forgiveness, her son was 4 years old. What could we have done for him? You know,
exactly.
He had enough to deal with. That unforgiveness and bitterness would be embedded in him. And I know because he had his own things to deal with, you know, losing his mom. Then she had two siblings.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't be that way. And the Lord allowed it so it wouldn't affect others around us.
And I remember one thing Philip said to me, and I think he was on a radio show actually, and he was being interviewed, and one of the things he said was that he really looked up to you all or the way you handled that situation, because it was like that, you know, even though you were hurt by it and things were hurt, but you went on with ministry in your mind. Like people would call and ask for prayer, and you would put them in your prayer book, and you would pray for them, and you would keep things going. And so he really admired that, because it helped him, he said, to get through it.
Right.
And I was going to say, Denise, one of the things that I saw and I admired initially after Ebony was first killed was that Phyllis and Randy and I were talking one day, and one of the things that they said was that, you know, he had daughters and he had a family, and one thing that they would not want him to have, that there was already going to be enough guilt connected to what he had caused, and they didn't want to fuel the fire necessarily and have him be in a position where he was worse off based on what their response would be to him in his presence or via attorneys or whatever the case may be. They wanted to stand, even when it was on the television or whatever it was, they wanted to exemplify that Christ was the person who was getting them through it, and they really couldn't take a lot of time and be viciously angry at somebody because there was so much more that was important at the time. And I will never forget, even at her funeral, because I think they walked through it that way, at the funeral, the presence of God was so strong at the funeral, and there was just a spirit of forgiveness. And one of the things that they helped me with was I couldn't get angry with them because it wasn't in them. So it wasn't like they were spewing it out saying, okay, this is how we feel. Everybody that talks with them was experiencing the same thing. And I know, because I know how much they love their child, and anybody listening to us, we all know how much we love our children. And for them to go through that, it was exactly what they had said, that there was a supernatural power of forgiveness that God was giving them, being able to look at all that was going on and be able to decipher it and say, okay, God, this is where I know you want me to stand in the midst of my situation. Because there was a whole bunch of stuff that was going on around Ebony's death, a bunch of stories, people giving playback. There were other people that were injured at the time. So there was a whole bunch going on. And for them to be able to stand on the fact that they were going to walk in forgiveness and them being conscious of all the people who were onlooking to see how they would get through it, it was a testimony to the people, and I think it helped everybody heal at a certain place so that they could go on with their lives.
And even how at the I remember this at the funeral, how that you all actually ministered to everybody at the funeral, actually.
Yeah.
Because you got up, I think Philip began to sing, and then all of you all got up there and you began to minister. And instead of being ministered to at the time, you ministered to the people that was at the funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And I just remember the Spirit of God coming in so heavy at that time, and it was such a blessing. I remember that. I just will never forget how it's like God turned it around to say, yeah. And so to me, you all received even some healing from that process.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Anthony. Oh, brother, I just want to say thank you, Denise, for allowing us to deal with this, because I have never dealt with it like this before. And when you asked me, you know, I wasn't going to do anything to let you down. But in my heart, I was thinking, I don't know if I can do this. But thank you, because I see that God. And I knew that God really was with us, but even more now, just to hear, you know, you all say these things. And I want you to know this is the forgiveness piece is there, but the difficulty in knowing that my child is gone, that's the reason why I'm feeling this way. I want you to know. But I want to thank you for the opportunity to give to us to kind of walk through this, because even almost 6 years later,
it's
still a healing process, and I thank the Lord for you, and thank you. I'm sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Thank the
Lord.
Elder Bryson,
yes.
This is Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry I was late, but I thank God for everything I've heard so far, and the Lord is just impressing upon me to speak to Randy and Phyllis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And what he, as I listened to you all and the brother that spoke before about the unforgiveness being justified and how we could justify the energy and stuff that we put into unforgiveness. And so then you asked, after I listened to Phyllis say that it wasn't a thing for her to forgive, and somebody would probably ask the question, how could that be?
Right.
And the Lord gave me the answer.
Mm.
And the answer he gave me is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in like it.
Right.
God created you both in his image, which image is visual, to see, like I can have a photograph of myself, which means that's an image of me. And after likeness denotes characteristics.
Exactly.
So you were created in God's image and likeness, which means you display and have his characteristics. Just as Adam and Eve messed up in the garden and he forgave and had a way to get man redeemed back to them, that's what you both, that's that whole process on how you could do it is because you, because of how God made you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I received that.
Anthony, wow.
Thank the Lord.
That's serious. Who would have thought? And then I heard the preacher today say, God is a progressive God. He's progressive. He started off with a lamb for a man, and then he did a lamb for a nation, and then he ended up using the lamb to take away the sins of the world. I just thank the Lord that he's progressive. It starts off a small thing. But then I just want to see what you have got. Like, that's beautiful how you said. It's, you know, I'm thinking about her death, which is difficult. But now you're telling me that, and I never thought about it, about being in the image and the likeness of God. That's God's progression. Who never thought about that? Never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, I'd like to add to that, say, that God will allow people to be in your life too that will strengthen you at certain times. Because me and my wife were away, we were still saved in the church, but we were away from friends. But God brought us back to friends because he said they need you more than you need them. And I was like, what? That doesn't make sense to me, but they were a strength to us that we never would have had being away from them. What I'm saying to people that are listening is you need the Lord to get through unforgiveness. You need him to give you a forgiven heart.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one to change it.
Yeah.
You can't change it yourself. You don't know how, but it is God that gives you that forgiving heart. And then he allows people to come into your life that will strengthen the process of forgiveness.
Yeah.
And we had positive people around us that strengthened the process of forgiveness.
And
that's vital.
It is vital, but if you, Heather, are we okay?
Yeah.
Am I okay?
Yeah,
okay. The thing about it is, those same people, some of them got on my nerves. Some of them made me mad. Some of them I didn't want to have nothing to do with. Some of them, people were saying, why are you still around those people? But when you let the Lord lead you, then he will guide you, because little did I know that on February 23rd, I was going to need some of those same people to engulf my life and I think and to be around me. And I think that's important for people that are listening. You can't always write off everybody that get on your nerve. You have to ask God to, and this is a piece of it, to help you to forgive and to walk in love. Even though people get on your nerve, and they do, but when you do that, you never know how God will turn that thing around. Like I said, again, he's progressive. He turned it around to help us.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm going to add this, and then we're going to get carry on and let you teach some more. You never know the person that you're holding unforgiveness toward may just be the person to deliver you from it all.
Amen.
I was, I was going to say Elder Dobson touched on something that's very, very significant. He talked about in the time that they, somebody's breathing hard. I'm sorry. So in the time that they were having all of their difficulty, he talked about not being separated. I think one of the things, too, that the enemy is able to do the greatest damage in unforgiveness is when we become separated and isolated from people based on unforgiveness. And a lot of times the enemy is allowed to come in and utterly destroy because we have made a decision that this person, I'm not forgiving them, so I need them away. But in their situation, they needed the very people that supported them and sustained them in their time of need. I'll never forget when we talk about Moses and his transformation from Pharaoh's until all the way out until where he was in Canaan. The reality was there was this isolation, there was a separation, and as Silla said, then there was this progression where God began to speak to him again when he saw the fire on the mountain. So I think even when we go through those dry spells and we make those decisions of unforgiveness, it is important that we are still looking for God in the midst of how we feel, because what's real is still what's real in our heart, but that we continue to look for him on the mountain, in the burning bush, so that God can turn those, like Phyllis said, those progressive things to start to happen, so that we can get into a better place with him.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. And you all touched on something, Sister Doctor, you was talking about this too, about how quick we're, you know, we have to be careful people do get on our nerves. They say things that get on our, you know, all these things happen. They say something that might be offensive, whatever. But we have to be very careful not to write people off, because you never know who you're going to need. And some of the stuff that was said, it really wasn't that deep. I mean, you know, if we really think about it, it got on my nerves. Yeah, I'm sick of that foolishness. And, you know, this, and this. But we got to be careful because, first of all, people are a precious commodity to God.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Amen.
That's the thing. Yeah. They are very precious. We were all created in his image.
Yes, right.
And he said, I don't have any respect of person. Mm-hmm. So that means he's viewing all of us the same.
Right. Amen.
And so if we all are important to him, then we ought to be important to one another.
Yeah.
Amen.
Regardless of the little nuances that will get on, and they will get on your nerve. I sometimes get on my own nerve. I just say that. So anyway, and then that brings up another topic we're going to talk about next week. But the one thing I thought about when you all were talking, too, is how that thing is for God. That was the next topic when it says give to God the thing that belongs to him. Unforgiveness doesn't belong to us. And I'm not saying unforgiveness belongs to God, but what God is saying in there when he said in Romans 12:9, he said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Those who have wronged us will reap what they sow, because the Bible says if you sow it, you're going to reap it, right? But the Lord has mercy even on that. That's the wonderful thing about God. He even has mercy concerning that. But it is not our job to be vengeful and act in unforgiveness and let bitterness take that root in us, because it will affect not only you but many.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And so instead of you taking it on like you can handle it, because you can't, anybody out there, you cannot handle that unforgiveness, because the things that it brings that may torment you, you can't, you can't handle it.
Amen.
It also makes you sick.
Well, give it over to God. And that's what I felt like you all did in that situation. You just let God take care of it.
Amen.
You wasn't wishing anything bad upon anybody. You wasn't rejoicing. If it had went a different way, you wasn't going to rejoice in that. That was not the case. That's not the case. And we have to be very, very careful when people do wrong us, and we say some people rejoice in something bad happening to the person that wronged us. That's not a time to rejoice.
Amen. Right.
That's not what God would have you to do. You're wrong. If that's what
right.
you've done, you're wrong
right.
in that. God
right.
wants mm-hmm. us to have love, period.
Have you ever heard many people say that? Have you ever just been in a conversation with a person? I'm listening. They'll say, so-and-so did something to me wrong, and then, boom, something bad happened to them, that person. And they said, honey, God don't like you to...
You don't like ugly.
You know, yeah, but mm-hmm. in a way you kind of feel a like they're glad about it. I just
yeah.
think that's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wrong.
This is out of Timberlake. The word lets uh-huh. us know that we're to seek peace and pursue it. That's the
yes,
we that's what we're commanded to do. So if we
mm-hmm.
hold an unforgiveness, we are in disobedience.
Yes,
because
we are.
We've been governed by our feelings and not by the spirit. We are going by the flesh.
Right.
And not by the spirit. So our God is telling us if we are seeking peace and pursuing it, then the Holy Spirit will help us and engage us on whatever we're going through, whatever trial, whatever it is that's too much for us to bear, because he already said he would put them on that we were able to bear.
That's
that
right.
he would make a way of escape. So the fact that he allowed certain things to happen to us that are horrific, that means he has already enabled us, embedded something in us that we don't even know we have. And
exactly.
when it has to be manifested, we are amazed in ourselves, but as they said, and as I heard their testimony, others were amazed, and it's a testimony of the grace of God and the mercy and the strength of God that he can help a human to
yes.
do what seemed to be unnatural for us in the flesh, to do
right.
something
yeah.
supernatural because
right.
of supernatural
mm-hmm.
strength. And we can be
exactly.
a witness to others to cause them to come to Christ and help them to realize, yes, you can make it regardless
yes,
of whatever you're going through.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Thank you
Glory.
For that. Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
That bless
Anybody
me.
Else
that
got any comments concerning it or testimonies they would like to give at this time? Please come on, go for it.
I just want to say this is Carolyn Mills. I want to say I was reminded that the scripture tells us that love is stronger than death, and so unforgiveness and bitterness and all of that, it comes to kill us, to destroy us.
That's
and
right.
And God gives us the victory in those offenses, in those things that come our way to test us, to see how we're going to deal with it, if we're going to draw away from him, if we're going
mm-hmm.
to accuse him. So love is so powerful. Amen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Amen.
It is powerful.
Amen.
And that's our cure for unforgiveness is love.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Yes. That's how much powerful love is. And when Jesus said, wait a minute, I was going to get that passage of scripture. If anybody else got something to say, go ahead. I'm going to get that passage of scripture.
Well, I wanted to chime
in. Hear me? Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, this is Elder Russell.
Uh-huh.
Elder Russell. I just want to say that I certainly enjoyed that testimony. I think it was just tremendous. And I think that God had you covered, you know, even before this happened, you know, he knows every hair that's on our head. He knows all about us. And so when this incident happened, I believe that he instantly just stepped in and covered you all with his blood. Because there's no way that you all could have walked through this the way you did. And that is a great testimony because there's many that suffer right now from unforgiveness for souls that have hurt someone they love. Now, what brought to mind to me was my brother-in-law. The police shot his 18-year-old brother in the back while he was running. He had no weapon. And every year at his birthday, he is suffering behind this, crying behind this. And it just brought to mind to me that helped to lead him to forgive and let go because he's celebrating his life on earth. I say, well, this is a life that killed him, you know, that he suffered
right.
and celebrate the life that hopefully that he's with Christ.
Right.
So I think that's a beautiful testimony and showing that God just carries us and loves us and protects us in every situation. And I'm leaving now, but I just want to say God bless you, and I really enjoyed that testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank the
Lord. Is anybody else?
Pastor Mims again. Listen,
uh-huh.
what I wanted to say, I thank God you guys were covered in the loss of your child. But now, for most of us, we didn't go through something as traumatic. But something that you did and that I want to bring out. Forgiveness is always, or it should be, a one-party situation. And I'll explain what I'm trying to say. I had a situation at the church where I felt like somebody had wronged me. And so as magnanimous as I can be, I went in and offered them an opportunity to straighten it out with me. I offered them an opportunity to forgive, for me to forgive them. Well, the person wasn't remorseful for what they did. And so I went back home and I told the Lord, well, we tried. And that was my sign to hold on to whatever the offense was, because I had offered them an opportunity to say, I'm sorry. And the Lord told me, he said, forgiveness is not between you and them. Forgiveness is between me and you. And the fact that they didn't wait to find out how the man felt, they didn't wait to see if he was going to be crying at the trial. Listen, it doesn't make any difference if the other person is ready to reconcile or not. You want to go in there and say, Lord, forgiveness is a one-party situation, and whether they get this right in this lifetime or not, I don't want to hold that in my life, because unforgiveness is a hindrance to our prayer lives, and I've got too many things on the burner that I need God to answer for the past to stop my future from coming forth.
That's true.
That's it.
We had to deal with so much grief. Unforgiveness would have been just what took us under. So I thank the Lord that he had given us that, like the sister said, supernatural unforgiveness.
You're acting like your daddy.
Huh?
Did you acting like your daddy?
Oh. I'm like,
what I mean? That means God so loved the world. God so loved.
There you go.
That's about your daddy. That's all right.
Amen. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to read that scripture. I know I got off track. I got too excited. I get so excited. Anyway, but Matthew 22:36-40 says, it says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
What time did you say? You thought so fast. 22 what?
Matthew 22:36-40. But the key point is that it's talking about the love there.
Mm-hmm.
He said everything else hang on them two right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
how can you speak of love?
The whole Bible is a love letter when we think about it. It's about his redeeming love, redeeming us back to him because of the fall.
Right.
So
and
it's just a love.
Right. And doesn't the scripture say that God is love?
Yeah.
So it's talking about him.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
That's something. Elder Poston, do you want to give your testimony today?
No.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, thank the Lord.
We only have, 7 minutes left?
7 minutes, okay.
Well, actually, we got a little longer, but I extended it a little bit because I wanted to make sure that we got these testimonies in and everything, but we don't have to continue on. We can't stop in our hour. But I wanted to make sure that, you know, the testimonies was heard and we didn't run out of time, so I extended it a little bit so I could make sure that did happen. But I'm really thankful. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, this is Elton Tiffany. I'm sorry. I've been listening most of the whole time. And I wanted to say to Elder Dodson, I think, is that Phyllis, I think? I wanted to commend you on your testimony and just tell you thank you for even talking about that. My cousin had a situation where he hit a husband and wife, and before prior to the situation, him and his father had had an argument about taking the car to get the brakes put on. And I'll hurry up because I see we're running out of time. Taking the car to get the brakes put on. And he procrastinated or whatever. So they got into an argument. He was supposed to take the car the day before. Got into an argument. And on his way to take the car, the brakes went out. And he crashed into a married couple and killed them.
Wow.
And at the hospital was him, his family, because he was injured as well. And then two doors down was the husband and wife, and they had five children.
Wow.
And I think you see the way that, because the first thing they did after they found out that their parents were killed was to come and see about my cousin, and you know, because he did survive the crash.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it was time to go to court, or you know, they didn't want to press charges, but the DA picked it up.
Yeah.
And so just to see that level of forgiveness helped me in a situation that I was in with trying to kind of forgive during my divorce process. And to see these people that I knew had forgiven my cousin who killed their mother and father, not intentionally, it was an accident. I mean, you know, people can say, oh, well, if he had taken the car to get the brakes the day before, or if they had called AAA or whatever, whatever. But hindsight is 20/20. The accident happened. He didn't set out to go to kill anybody. He set out to get the car around the corner, and he was just going around the corner to the automotive shop to take the car. And in that process and seeing everything, I said, well, if these people can forgive my cousin for hitting their mother and father and, you know, killing them, surely I can let go of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a place where I had to get in my heart that forgiveness is like, you know, the gentleman saying, it's not for us. I mean, it's not for them, it's for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took me to another situation where the situation in my marriage, he took me to another situation that was similar to what I was angry about. And so I had to come to a place where it helped me to forgive even more, because I was like, okay, here I've judged this person, and I don't, you know, I there's some things around my porch I need to sweep around. And so God will take you through situations and things, and I believe that the Lord allowed that situation so that I could forgive, so that I could see, you know, you don't know the circumstances that a person is in. You don't know really what they're going through when they're doing some of the things that they're doing, but when it hits your front door, what will you do?
Yeah.
And then at that point, it was like, okay, well, now I can see how this person did these things to me. Or I can see how this could have transpired the way it transpired. Because you don't know when the enemy brings stuff to you, or just different stuff. I mean, it doesn't even have to be the enemy. Just things, life happens.
Yeah.
And you try to make the best decisions that you can make. You know, you try to make the best decisions that you can as you walk out your Christian life.
That's it.
And so I just wanted to, you know, just say that I applaud your testimony. And even now, there's still some things in my heart that before I get up to do worship or anything, I ask, Lord, you know, come in my heart and help me to forgive. Because I think what really blessed me out of this whole teaching session is, beyond anything, is that you don't have the power. You can't necessarily make yourself forgive. It takes God for that. Because there are times when, you know, in your mind you think, okay, I forgive this person, Lord, I've let it go. And then you see him and it comes back up again. And you're like, well, what is this? You know, Lord, what is this? Is this a fruit of bitterness? Is this, you know, and it takes time. You know, time heals all wounds. But you have to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come in. He said, I mend your broken heart. I mend the broken hearted and I bind up their wounds. And so, you know, God is teaching me that it's a process. And I got to walk you through this process. And eventually through time, you'll be able to see that person and be like, hey, you know, it won't even affect you. It'll be so far gone. And I look back at situations. A long time ago, a pastor told me, you know, time heals all wounds. And I'm thinking, no, time doesn't heal all wounds. A simple apology can help, you know. But it does take some time.
Yes.
And along with you, what if you never get that apology? The Lord said, what if you never get an explanation? Then what you going to do?
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
And so, in closing, I'm going to wrap it up because I see you all the time. My main thing is, Lord, I want a heart that forgives. The songwriter sings, I want a heart that forgives. I want a heart that loves everybody. I want to walk like you, live like you, be like you. I want a heart that forgives. And so I want to get to that place where I have a heart that forgives. But now I understand through this whole teacher process, the light just clicked for me. I mean, like, it's probably I knew it, but it just really hit home in my heart and my spirit that I can't do it on my own. And I think because I've been trying to do it on my own, that it's like, oh, faith without works is dead. You know, and we have all these scriptures that we hold on to. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. But at the end of the day, I can't do it by myself. I've got to cast my cares upon God because he cares for me.
Yeah,
I just got to cast it over to him and say, Lord, I can't do nothing about that. But help me to do something about the things that I can. And whatever I can't do anything about, God, I place it at your feet. And I trust you where I can't trust you enough to know that you can guide and navigate my life through this process. And with that being said, I'm sorry, I'm done.
Don't be sorry.
That was beautiful. Don't be sorry.
That was wonderful, Tiffany. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Anybody else have anything they want to share? And then we will try to we'll begin to wrap it up. And Pastor Ken, you still on the phone? Is he still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay,
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Ask
Can you hear me?
I'm going to ask you to close out in prayer in a few minutes. I don't know, but I thank the Lord for you being on the line. I'm leaving
thank
everybody being apart. And so I wanted to say, I always want to say, you know, it's always my endeavor that if there is anybody that is listening, anybody that does not know Christ in the pardon of your sin, that you can give your life to him today. Because if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, we can say a passage and you can do that, but also we want you to always say that the prayer is simply a way to express to God your faith in him and thank him providing you for salvation. But you have to take it further because it has to be in your heart. But if there is anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sin, I just believe if you would repeat this after me and give your life to the Lord, that God will receive you today. I always tell people when we go to the hospital, when somebody says they give their life to them, they want to give their life to the Lord, and we go through them with that process, I tell them the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So if you want the angels in heaven to rejoice, just come on and give your life to the Lord today. It's so
Amen.
Much better with Christ. Life
yes,
is so
is.
Much better with Christ. I'm not saying you're not going to go through life, because life will continue to happen. Because Jesus encourages over in St. John, I think it's 16:33, where he said, in the world you'll have tribulation.
Yes.
He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So I'm not saying life is not going to still happen. What I'm saying is you got an advocate with the Father when you come into this family. And that's Jesus Christ. And he died for your sins. And so if you would just say, you know, I confess, God, I know that I have sinned against you and deserve punishment. But I believe in Jesus Christ took the punishment I deserve so that through faith in him I could be forgiven. I receive your offer of forgiveness and place my trust in your salvation. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. I invite Jesus to become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, if you didn't get to say it with me, because I know I'm going a little fast, but please say that prayer and then begin to just find you a good Bible-believing church, teaching church, where you can attend and be in fellowship with other believers and begin to eat the word daily and begin to develop a prayer life and a relationship with God. And you will see your life begin to transform. Salvation is progressive. The more you stay with Jesus, the better you get and the stronger you get. So at this time, I want to ask Pastor Ken if he will close us out in prayer. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you for the beautiful testimonies, all the encouragement, all the comments, all of the words that came forth. We are so grateful for it, and we're so grateful. And we hope that this broadcast will be a blessing to all those that were in attendance, all those that were on the Internet listening, and for all those that will listen later. We thank God for each and every one of you, and I pray that the Lord, everybody on this line that participated, that the Lord will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can even ask or think, and that the blood of Jesus will cover you. Pastor Ken, will you pray us out?
Yes. Elder, may I
God,
ask
in the name of Jesus.
Elder,
I'm sorry?
I was going to ask Elder Denise, may I ask your approval to make a quick announcement?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. I will be at next Sunday, September 20th at 3 p.m., I'm extending an open invitation for all who will to attend the 3 p.m. Sunday service, and I think most of us are out of our first service by that time, 3 p.m. Sunday service at Redeemer's House Ministries, and that's located
okay.
in the wonderful city of DeSoto, Texas. It's at
okay.
119 Executive Drive, Suite 303. And I'd like for you to be my special guest, and let me know if you are my special guest, because if you are, I'd like to buy dinner. I believe the church will have dinners, and I'd like to purchase your dinner if you're my special guest on next Sunday at 3 p.m. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sister Pierre. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Hello. Pastor Ken, when you pray, could you also pray for Denise's leg, please?
Amen.
Amen.
I will. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all of the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you because you are God. God, all by yourself. God, you have created this opportunity for us to listen in. God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus, if there be any of us that are dealing with unforgiveness, I'm asking that you would spark our hearts, God, to get past it. Lord, for those that are not even ready to have the conversation yet, God, I'm asking that you would remove some of the bitterness so that we're able to have the conversation about forgiveness. God, if this is the impetus for somebody that's getting ready to go through something so horrific that they will not be able to deal with it, were it not for this conversation, I'm asking that you would send the remembrance of this conversation. Lord, let it be stored in their heart so that when the circumstance arises, Lord, they will have something to draw from. God, I'm asking that you would bless the moderator here today in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
let
Lord.
The words that are being spoken through her, God, go out and reach the nation in the name of Jesus. Let us not simply be voices on the radio, but let the Spirit of the Lord move, God, across the airwaves. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let it pull in and save. God, I'm asking that you would touch her leg right now in the name of Jesus. Your word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you would heal us out of them all. God, we declare that healing is the children's bread, and we command every demonic force that wants to rest on her leg to be lifted right now in the name of Jesus. We call it done. God, for every person that's on this line, for every ministry that is represented here. God, we're asking for the anointing that you gave to Jeremiah. Let the people be trees, and let the words that are coming out of their mouth be like fire. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for peace that will follow them. We pray that your anointing will usher in a new season of blessings for their lives in the name of Jesus until
thank
we
you,
have
Lord.
Opportunity to come together again. And the people of God said, it is so, it will
it
be
so,
so, and it cannot be otherwise in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' holy name. Thank the Lord.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. I thank
you.
Each and every one of you again for being on here. We thank you for that awesome prayer. Thank you for the awesome testimonies. And we will be back here again next week. Thank you for joining
Amen.
Us. Have a blessed week, each and every one of you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank
you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.